In Iraq, the fates of three foreign hostages, two Bulgarians and a Filipino, are as yet unknown. Insurgents have called on the U.S. to release prisoners in exchange for the safe return of the hostages, but the deadlines set by the insurgents have already passed. The Philippines have decided not to extend its peacekeeping presence in Iraq beyond August. The insurgency in Iraq, still strong 14 months after the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, has stymied U.S.-led efforts toward security and reconstruction. In frustration, Pentagon observers say that waging a counterinsurgency is the most difficult type of warfare. NPR's Deborah Amos has just come out of Iraq after several weeks. She joins us from Amman, Jordan. Good morning to you, Deb.
Good morning, Susan.
Tell us how the military assesses its handling of the insurgency so far. What have been the main obstacles for success?
I think in the past few weeks, maybe months, the military has had to face the fact that it has popular support. It's larger than they thought. Early on, they labeled it, and so did the administration, that these were Saddam loyalists. I think it's much clearer now that these are nationalists, don't care about Saddam at all. But what they do mind is an occupying army in their neighborhoods, and that has been a recruiting tool.
Is there a sense that this interim government in Iraq now is going to be a better partner to the U.S.-led forces than the Coalition Provisional Authority was?
What they say, of course, is we know Iraq better than the Americans do, and we can make an appeal to some of those nationalists to come in from the cold, to essentially join this political process. What the new interim government will have as much trouble as the Americans will is over the jihadists. And that's a new phenomenon in Iraq that's only since the invasion last year. Some of them are foreign, not very many. Mm. Some of them are homegrown militants who cannot be appealed to. And even the new interim government has no idea how to tackle that part of the insurgency.
Mm-hmm. What were the problems in having the military work well with the Coalition Provisional Authority?
It was a culture clash right from the beginning. Mm. Then there were practical problems. The Coalition Provisional Authority made great promises of infrastructure projects, water, electricity, promises that they could not keep, not entirely their fault, but the money simply was late coming in. And the military blamed them quietly for not being able to give Iraqis something to say, this now has changed. This is a knife fight going on in Washington over these two institutions blaming each other for an insurgency that is now larger than anyone predicted at this point, 14 months after the fall of Saddam.
This week, Prime Minister Alawi gained the power to declare martial law in Iraq. So is that a move that's seen as a real help in forwarding the counterinsurgency?
I think for Iraqis themselves, who have been the target of so much of this violence, they applauded Alawi's tough measures. They've been waiting for them. Now, whether this is a tactic that will quell the insurgency remains to be seen. He doesn't really have that many troops at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Even 14 months after the invasion, they are not equipped as they should be. Many of them are outgunned by the insurgency. It happens all the time in police stations. So there's a political side to this emergency law, and there's also a practical side, and it remains to be seen whether the practical side can quell the violence.
NPR's Deborah Amos speaking from Amman, Jordan. Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, Susan.